Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Today, we're discussing what happened on the road to Emmaus, where we find two discouraged, perplexed disciples. Trusting God by faith can be perplexing. He doesn't always do things the way we think He's going to. It can be discouraging when He seems to be delayed. But Psalm 37:3 says, "Trust in the Lord, feed on His faithfulness, delight in Him." So join in the conversation to be encouraged in the depths of trusting God by faith on the road to Emmaus. As we apply the scriptures to our life by faith, and we walk by faith according to the word, things still happen that challenge our faith, Janie. Right? So things that cause us to question, what is going on?
Well, Sharon, in Luke 24, we have the account of what happened at the resurrection.
All right.
And the stone was rolled away from the tomb. And we find that there was perplexity about there being an empty tomb with a grave clothes neatly folded, but the Lord was not there. And then we have the account of the women knowing that that had happened. On this occasion, the ladies were probably a little overexcited as well as being perplexed.
And probably looked dramatic.
And a little drama, and so you don't know how the fellows responded to that.
Right.
But we do know that according to verse 4 in Luke 24, there was some perplexity going on. And then we also know in verse 5, there were some that were a little afraid of what they were seeing. And then someone spoke, "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." And they remembered Jesus' words. He did say He was going to rise again, but, you know, we didn't understand that.
Right.
But now we remembered what He said. And so we go on a few more verses. And then Peter arose and he ran to the grave, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. Now, enter the two subjects that we want to look at today. In Luke 24, verse 13, it says, "Now behold, two of them," we believe probably those two could have been looking at the tomb. They may have very well been at the foot of the cross, seeing that mangled, marred body, and that imprint was so indelible on their mind,
right,
that they could never believe that body arose from the grave. That was just too much for their mind to handle.
Okay.
And so then they begin to talk about all the things that had happened. And so they decide, you know, we're not going back into Jerusalem with all of this excitability. Let's just head out. We need to get back home before sundown.
And disappointment, you think? You think they were disappointed?
I think sick to the stomach.
Okay.
Devastation. Because they had followed Him. They believed Him to be the Messiah that was going to overcome the Roman persecution that was in the government at that time.
You're right.
He was their relief. He was their hope. He was their salvation. And now they have in their mind the remembrance of that mangled body on the cross.
So they thought that He was going to come and build His kingdom there. And overthrow the government, and they would all reign with Him right there in
now.
Right.
Now.
Right.
You know, I remember the story of Lazarus being raised from the grave, and the ladies knew he was going to come back to life one day when Jesus returned. They had those facts. It was future. But they were in such grief because He stinketh. He's been in the grave for 4 days. And Lord, You could have gotten here early.
and saved him.
Right. And so they were brokenhearted just like these men were. And Sharon, what I love in comparing those two passages is Jesus knew that he was going to raise Lazarus from the grave in a matter of hours, but Jesus identified with their pain, and he wept bitterly for their hopeless despair of not being able to exercise the faith in him who they believed that he really was.
So this is how we get off of walking by faith and walking by what we think is faith, but it's really by sight.
And we're so easy tripped up at that. And, you know, Sharon, we have to have these tests for our faith to be exercised.
Right.
So that we can grow on whether we see him face to face or we only know him by his truth. That we can live in trust by faith, not by having to see the visual evidence.
Right.
And as we are appointed to the time where God has created us to live, sometimes what we see is so discouraging, we don't believe there can ever be an improvement.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we revert back to what is seen and we become disillusioned, and then we have a tendency to start to look at one another, and that makes us more discouraged a lot of times.
And we're not exercising our faith in that. And exercising our faith really takes some, it's just like our physical bodies. It takes some determination to exercise.
But we need to realize that faith is a gift. And everybody has been given a certain measure. Some people have a stronger measure. But the faith of at least a mustard seed, you can move mountains. Why? Because it's not your own faith. It is your faith in the object. And it's no problem for Jesus to move a mountain. I mean, if he created the world by just speaking it, then moving a little old mountain doesn't even raise an eyebrow.
Right. So these we can identify with these two guys who are feeling very discouraged that things did not go the way that they believed their faith was leading them.
Their hopes went down the tubes. They were disappointed. They were going back home defeated and talking and discussing about what they had hoped for that didn't happen. So now let's talk about two discouraged men needing to get home before nightfall because they didn't want to be endangered by the robbers that could possibly be on the road after dark.
Okay.
So in verse 15, once again, we're hanging out in Luke 24 today. So in verse 15, it says, "So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them." So that means that Jesus must have been in Jerusalem because he had been raised from the dead.
Right.
But his tenderness of choosing to meet these men and just casually come up beside them, headed in the same direction that they were. He didn't come from the opposite direction to confront them. He's just joined up alongside of them.
Okay.
And he joins in the discussion. And Sharon, the joy of when we are discouraged for Jesus saying, "I will never leave you, I will be with you," and the casualness with which he just joined up with them. And it says in verse 16, "But their eyes were restrained, for they did not know him." So Sharon, the resurrection body, thank God, is going to look better than
we'll be unrecognizable
until maybe we speak.
Okay.
But thank God we have hope for better bodies.
Oh,
all
God.
Right, that resurrection body. And so he casually says to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" So he recognized their emotional bondage or paralysis. And he asks a question because he's wanting them to recognize what he needs them to say from their heart.
Okay.
They need to recognize their emotional state.
Right.
And Sharon, okay, that's what we need to do for one another these days. Mm-hmm. When we recognize discouragement, panic, anger, anxiety, we need to not come in and say, well, what's wrong with you? Right. But we need to casually engage one another in conversation to where we can trust to unload what is tribulating us and traumatizing us.
Right.
And so he engages them in conversation in the next few verses. And I love what they say. They say to him, well, look, don't you know what's been going on? Don't you know about what they're saying? So,
are you a stranger? Have you just not been listening?
So here is the object of what's causing them all their trauma, and he's right there with them, and they're basically accusing him. Don't you know what's going on? Well, yes, I do. I'm the object of your trauma.
Right.
And I've come to minister to you in the gentleness and the love that I have. Now, Sharon, that takes...
But he didn't say that at that time.
No, he didn't.
Yes.
But you see, we always need to be thinking about what is the heart of God?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it is love. It's not that he has love. He is love.
Right.
So he's ministering to them almost in the same way that a mother would gently take care of her newborn. And I'm making that a real strong point today because we have a tendency to think God has abandoned us, or he just doesn't care, or he's too busy with his own agenda. But we need to see the gentleness that God is always having available.
Absolutely.
And even in his wrath, when he has to discipline Sharon, even though we don't know how it works, we need to understand that love is a motivation even in his wrath, because he's purifying something that cannot be with him forever in heaven.
Well, we do the same thing with our children, hopefully. We discipline our children to get the crud out of them. You know, we don't want them going through life being selfish or self-absorbed and doing their own thing, being disobedient, disobeying the law and the rules and ending up in prison.
And so, Sharon, I can't help but laugh a little when I think about after you've had to correct them and bring them loving discipline, that their first response would be, oh, Mom, thanks so much for your tender love.
You're right.
You see, until we know the character of the God that we serve, we can be as perplexed as these two on the road to Emmaus.
Right.
And remember, they did have a physical agenda that probably was putting some pressure on them. They needed to get home before sundown.
Okay.
All right. And up shows this guy and starts walking along with him. They don't recognize who he is. And so they're talking and discussing. And he joins in the discussion. They still don't recognize him. And then he starts to ask them some questions. And they get intrigued. But he finally has to say something to them. And in verse 25, he says, oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. You see, they had heard, they believed, their faith had been built, but now it was being tested, and they're not handling that well. Mm. And yet, what does he say? Slow of heart to believe, which is another way of saying your faith is failing.
Okay.
So then we go on a little bit more, and they are engaged in his conversation. And Sharon, that should be another point for us. Our conversation with one another should be always drawing one another unto the greatness of the Father. And we must be living by faith, or we will wind up looking at one another and coming to our conclusions on how we want to deal with one another by walking by sight. And we'll look where they lack, and then we'll start to deal with them where they lack, rather walking by faith to knowing what God wants to do and use us as a tool.
Right.
So,
right, I see.
Time comes when the Lord has presented himself. He's had conversation with them, and now he's just going to go on his way. But they know it's nightfall, and they don't want him to be subject to robbers, So they say, well, come stay with us. Come have dinner with us. And he comes because they requested him to come.
Oh, wow. That's good, Janie.
Don't turn him away when you're down and in tears and overwhelmed.
Right.
Request, ask. He is more than ready to be real to you in your body, soul, and spirit. And in verse 29, it says, they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is spent. And he went in and stayed with them. So then he came in, and as they were breaking bread, he kind of takes control, because in verse 30, it says, he took the bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them.
In their own house.
In their own house.
Oh.
Then,
that's interesting.
Verse 31, their eyes were opened, and they knew him. Oh, wow. We have the risen Christ with us. Fabulous. He's going to spend the night. We can talk all night long. God Almighty in the person of Jesus Christ, he is alive. All of our fears are gone. And he vanished.
Wow.
Do we want the fears, their perplexities? What's going on? And Sharon, doesn't that sometimes happen in our lives? We're encouraged, we're discouraged, God does something, and we're going, oh, I'll never doubt him again. I'll never have a problem. Uh-oh, I have a problem.
Right.
Now, before our listening audience thinks, they're crazy. It's in the Word, ladies. It's in the Word. But here's what he was doing. He showed them by sight his presence and his caring for them and his willing to give of himself to come to them after that resurrection. But he knew that he was going to go away. He knew that he was going to go back to heaven and prepare places for those two, and that he would be departing. But he wanted to give them such a visible evidence by sight that once they no longer saw him, they would never fear again.
Oh, I see.
So he was teaching them in his tenderness that they would not see him again until the resurrection of their bodies. But as they sojourned for the rest of their time here, they would never, ever forget the road to Emmaus. They would never forget that he met them at their point of need to walk with them by sight so that they would be able to walk with him by faith for the rest of their days that they traveled here on earth.
Well, you know, the Lord does that for us, doesn't he? When we're walking along that path, just like you said, he comes along and he does something that just, we're like, wow, that is so God. You know, he delivered food to my front porch when we had nothing. And so here God is revealing himself in a box of groceries, right?
Yes.
And so then the next time we have need, we're so willing to walk by faith and not understand where that's going to come from, but know that God will supply.
Yes. So that's the beauty. And what my heart wanted to convey is, until we see the resurrected Christ, we really don't know who he is. Now, can we have the crucified Christ that we accept as our Savior?
Yep.
And that's your baby Christian. But when you see the resurrected Christ, your heart is changed. And basically, you go from earthly thinking to heavenly thinking as you look up to him as he is ascended. Now, he has given an additional provision for those of us today. And that is given as an example in verse 32.
Okay.
So why don't you read that?
And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road? And while he opened the scriptures to us.
Oh, he opened the scriptures. Now, the New Testament was not written. So he was quoting from Old Testament passages. Mm-hmm. and he was giving them life there. And what was their response? Their heart burned.
Mm-hmm.
Sharon, if we would ask the Lord to give us hungry hearts for the Word of God.
Oh, yeah.
Lord, let me feel restless. Let me just not be able to put my head on the pillow until I have quieted my soul with your Word.
Yeah.
We would have sweet sleep. Insomnia would probably not require any medication.
Right.
Because even in our sleep, we can be trusting by faith as we have the Scriptures hid in our heart.
Well, you know, that is something that we can pray for, that God would give us a desire for His Word, a longing for His Word, to just have a overwhelming need to devour His Word. And that should be really a prayer that we pray if we are lacking the motivation to reading the Scriptures.
And Sharon, as our hearts burn in wanting to know Him, it's because we have been made in His image that we'll never be satisfied without knowing His love and knowing how to appropriate that love in difficult situations. True love will always love with a tenderness that those two men found on the road to Emmaus. And when I am having to endure you, although the Bible tells us, bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things.
And you have to endure me a lot, Janie.
Well, vice versa, my love. But when that love is alive and flowing out of my innermost being, I can love the most unlovely because it is not my strength that is doing it. My strength may have to endure. His strength can still let the rivers of living water flow out of our innermost being. Now, may we have to endure the unlovely of the unrighteous? May we have to endure with God's love the sin and that people
like Joshua and Caleb?
Yes, good example. Yes.
Yeah. So I'm sure that they weren't real happy about having to walk through the wilderness for 40 more years when the promised land was right there. I think about their hearts and how they must have had to really take everything back to the Lord and love those people in spite of, because they are face to face with people that they have to care for, help feed, clothe, lead, live with on a daily basis, that because of them, I'm having to walk this wilderness instead of going into the promised land.
And it would be very easy to be very resentful.
Yeah, and get bitterness and anger and resentment toward them. But the forgiveness and the love that they had to show them.
Well, and in the rest of the Luke 24, it goes on and gives more additional circumstances that we can still learn from. And I just want to jump over to verse 45 on a different set of circumstances. But in verse 45, it says, He opened their understanding that they might comprehend the Scriptures.
Mm.
Now, Sharon, we need continual listening to the Lord so that we can comprehend the Scriptures. We need to see, Sharon, that the Scriptures are our life-giving resource because they are the words of Jesus.
Right.
He is speaking to us as loud today through the Scriptures as what He did when He broke bread with the two on the road to Emmaus.
Wow. Well, that's really good, Janie. And I love the story that I can identify with these two men in today's world, that as we walk that road to Emmaus, that the Lord will walk along beside us and encourage us as He opens the Scriptures to us. And that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHearts.org. That's Sharon, S-H-A-R-I-N, Hearts, H-E-A-R-T-S.org.